I really feel like God wants to take a time out this morning and not give us what more to do, but what to apply what we've already known. Last week in worship, it came through, you know, about praying in the Spirit. And if you're visiting, there's no condemnation or no guilt. And if you're a member here, there's no condemnation or no guilt. This is not what I need to do. This is, God, what can I apply to partner with heaven? God is not a boss where he gives you instructions what to do. He's a father that walks with you. There's a world of difference, friends. And so far too long, we've come to the Bible and say, what do I need to do? And God says, I want you to co-labor with me. We're going to do this together. It's partnering with heaven. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. That means wherever you are, Jesus is. For those of you that don't know Pastor Easy or do know him and don't know, Pastor Easy has a gift of faith. Everybody's given a measure of faith, but he has the gift of faith. Everybody's called to have mercy. Then there's the gift of mercy. We're all called to give, and then there's the gift of giving. Now, having the gift of faith does not mean you don't go through things. It means when you go through things, you already see past those things. And there's just a tenderness that came in worship, and I don't want to disturb that. There's a tenderness of what the Father wants to do. Because it's like Moses, when Moses delivered the Midianite women, they went back to the dad, and the dad said, why'd you come back so soon? And they said, an Egyptian delivered us. An Egyptian delivered us. But we know from the Bible, Moses was not Egyptian. He was Hebrew. But he had Egyptian clothes. And so we come on with clothes that the world have put on us. Descriptions people have said, what we thought about ourselves, what you see. And we see ourselves as an Egyptian. An Egyptian delivered us. But his DNA was Hebrew. And the world covers us and words cover us. And people say things and they describe us. And that's how we say we are. It's what we've not done or what we've done. And that becomes our identity. An Egyptian delivered us. An Egyptian. Now, when I say Egyptian, Egyptians are beautiful people. There's many Christians, and even those that are, it's not about Egyptians, it's about bondage. One thing about Egypt was it was restrictions. See, an Egyptian pulled Moses out of the water, and she named him. And if you think Moses is a Hebrew name, she did not give Moses a Hebrew name. She gave him an Egyptian name. He was fed with the Egyptian food. He was clothed with Egyptians. He knew their gods. And if you think Moses was at the table at Pharaoh, and they were giving him Jewish food, and they were telling him Jewish stories, you are deceived. You don't know how the Egyptians were. Pharaoh was God to them. He was a god. They would build different temples, one to the sun god, one to the moon god, and one to the Pharaoh god. And he said, kill all the boys. So he was, and so she would take his little hand, hey, little Moses. So he was raised with Egyptian food, and he was clothed with Egyptian clothes, and say, an Egyptian delivered. No, honey, his DNA is Hebrew. When you become born again, that's who you're really called to be. You become born again, your spirit's born again. An 80-year-old or a 13-year-old, they're not going to look any different in the physical, but their spirit is born again. That's who you really are. So we're just going to allow our Heavenly Father to redress us. We're going to apply what he wants us to apply. I was just driving down the road, and I was listening to this tape, and it's over 10 years ago, and I remember where I was sitting when I listened to it. I remember the speaker. I remember everything. But I don't remember the message being that good. So I listened to it again. And see, what changed? I was listening it with intent to apply it. Because I think what happens sometimes is we hear messages we don't do, we don't apply, nothing's activated. We come to church, we hear, we don't do, we don't apply, nothing's activated. I mean, last week through worship, pray in the Spirit more. Did anybody do it this week? I just want you to ask a question. What was the last sermon you heard that you applied? Not the last one you liked. Not the last one you tweeted or reheated. Not the last one you quoted. What was the last word from God you applied? Maybe you were reading the Word and he spoke to you. Jesus does not want to be just requoted. Satan can quote Jesus. And he has. Satan can quote the Word, and he has, and he will again, out of context. Quoting the Word, he knows the Bible better than any preacher. He's been here for thousands of years. He's seen God take the humble and make them kings. He's seen Adolf Hitler fall. He's seen it all, friends. You're nothing new to him, but what he fears is the kingdom of God in you, Jesus. He's afraid of Jesus. He's not afraid of you, your wisdom, your instruction, all your years in church, all your pastors, all the anointing. He doesn't care about the mega pastors, how big they are. He fears Jesus. And when you start walking with him and start applying his robes of righteousness, his robes of power. See, before I came here, I never preached. I just served. I just served. I just served. That was my robe, servant. That was my robe, servant. And the Heavenly Father came and said, no, you're called. Because do you know God has a book of Acts for you? We read Acts, but do you know he has a book of Acts for you? Peter was always called to be a disciple, but he just didn't know it.
He's a fisherman. That's who I am. I'm doing what my father. See, it's not like now where you can just do this and this. Back then you did what your father did. You're going to be a fisherman. This is what we're going to do. We're going to go get big fish, and I will always be a fisherman. Then one day Jesus walked by and said, follow me. Two words, follow me. He did not tell him everything you're called to do. So we come in here. We have our identity. We have the robes that man has put on. We have the robes that we've accepted, because you're only wearing it because you have accepted it. See, what you don't accept, you don't wear. Could have been generational. Could have been parental. Could have been what you did. Like, I'll just use an example. Someone would have an abortion. Now they're carrying the robes of shame. God wants to take that off. He's not going, look what you did. Look what I did on the cross. So you can look at what you did, or you can look at what Jesus did. And when you look at what Jesus did, then you wear the robes of righteousness. Amen? So one of the things I want to pray for today is that the effects, because see, sometimes when we pray for healing and we don't get healed, we say, okay, I didn't get healed. But I believe there's going to be a resurgence of the effects of what you went through, God wants to erase. So I'm going to give you two tests. Before I preach, I'm always giving you two testimonies of healings. I'm not giving you the names of the people. Now, I've had people come up to me and go, we know who you're talking about. You won't today. Because what happens is we get so focused on the individual and not Jesus. We know their books. We know their history. We know their testimony. And we elevate man. And I'm telling you what, the more you're used by God, the harder it is to reflect glory and praise to Jesus. That is almost a full-time job. Catherine Kuhlman, who was greatly used by God, she said at the end of each day, she would just talk to Jesus. Jesus, there's some people that confuse me with you today. I am not confused. Jesus is the King. Jesus is the one that heals. Even in the New Testament, they said, you did this, this, and then, no, Jesus. Jesus. Without Jesus, nothing gets done. Without Jesus, the veil wasn't ripped, and there's no Holy Spirit. So I'm going to give you two healing testimonies. One of the guy I travel with, when I was just wearing the robe of servant, and I would go, and I was fine with that at the time. But you know what's funny is as we progressed, and God, it's a process. See, destiny is not a destination. Purpose is not a dead. I'm a full up for purpose. No, it is a process. You can be fulfilling your destiny right now, serving in the church. It's part of the steps. David was fulfilling his destiny when he was washing the sheep. But there came a day when he could no longer watch the sheep. God didn't want him 30-year-old just watching the sheep. He goes, I want you to be faithful over the little, faithful over the big. Get rid of the bear. Get rid of the lion. Then you will take down Goliath. Then you will be my king. Amen. So I was traveling with this guy. He walks in this church, and there's a boy in a wheelchair. And the doctor said he has just months to live. He prayed for him. And as he's praying for him, God gave him a word, a prophetic word. A prophetic word is about your future and destiny. And God knows all things. Psychics can tell you familiar things, because there's a spirit world, friends, and they can tell you some things, but what they cannot tell you is your future. They cannot tell you for sure. And he says, this boy will live and not die, and he will preach the gospel. A year later, because, you know, they come back to the same church, there is the little boy running around playing. He will live and not die, and he will preach the gospel. Let me give you another one whom you don't know. There's this girl, she was Jewish, and she wasn't a believer. And one of her friends was witnessing to her and goes, you snuck those scriptures in, those New Testament scriptures in. She goes, I know that's about Jesus. She goes, go get your Bible. You read it. It was in the Old Testament. Friends, he was always there. And she was a drug addict. She was a drug user, and she got hepatitis. And so she got saved, but she was still sick. She couldn't work. She was losing her hair. Her blood was toxic. She would actually pass out, low blood pressure. And so she went to a church service. And while the guest preacher was speaking, just a guest preacher, no name needed, I felt God tugging at my heart with a message. Go up and ask for prayer, and I will heal you. He didn't say him. I will heal you. There's acts of obedience that we do, and we think if we keep doing those things, it's not about a guest preacher. That God says, you come up, I will heal you. So she went up. She felt a little different. So I did what I didn't want to do. She didn't want to go in the morning. She wanted to go at night, and God says, now. Because no one knew. She was embarrassed. She was new. You know, it's hard sometimes just going to church, it's hard, but come to the altar. Sometimes it's hard, you know, in front of people. But when you, see, my prayer today is that I speak to your purpose and destiny. Because there's thousands of people you're called to affect. There's books in here that need to be written. There's sermons that need to be preached, or songs that need to be. My prayer today is that you feel a tug on your purpose and destiny for the real you to come out, to wear the real robes that he has called you to wear, right? So I did what I didn't want to do. I got up in front of everyone and asked for prayer. The next day, I checked into the lab for my weekly blood work. 2 days later, my doctor told me, they mixed up your blood at the lab. We'll have to redo it. When I returned to the doctor's office after the second blood draw had been analyzed, the nurse looked at me strangely. What happened? She asked. What do you mean, what happened? I didn't know what she was talking about. I felt free. She said, I felt free for the first time in my life. This is what the lady said. Didn't the doctor tell you? Without waiting for an answer, she ushered me into his office. Robin, what happened? He asked. Your blood work came back normal. It wasn't toxic at all. He explained that even though hepatitis leaves a permanent marker in your blood, there was no marker in mine. A permanent marker, the blood of Jesus washed it out. See, and that's what we want to believe. Not just for, see, because what happens is you didn't get healed. Lazarus is dead. You're praying for him to get healed, and he died. And Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and life. Even after effects, God can remove metal. He can remove the toxicity. He can remove HIV. There was no marker in mine. That's why he thought the lab had mixed it up. I don't have a history, I told him. God healed me. When I told him that Jesus healed me, he was quiet for a moment. Then he said, three times I have seen something that science can't explain. I don't know what I believe, but all three times the people who have experienced these things have told me the same thing you did. Jesus healed me. Many years later, everybody say many years. Many years. And I'm not going to make you touch three people. I hate when they do that. Look to this, look to that. Just preach. Do you remember? I see you in the future, you look a lot better. I mean, do we remember some stuff we quote? But I tell you one thing, the thing that you apply becomes second nature, which actually becomes first nature. The faster you apply a sermon, the easier it is to remember. And one of the things to apply a sermon is you need humility to come in. If you come in here thinking, I've heard it, I know them, I've done it, there's people that will not be in an eternity of heaven because of familiarity. Anything come from Galilee? We know Jesus. Don't let familiarity make you miss God, because we judge the package. And there will be people in hell because the package was slick. I don't have a history, I told them. God healed me. Just do it for me, he urged. So I did, and the results of all three tests, a liver scan, a sonogram, and blood work came back negative. You have the liver of a 20-year-old, he exclaimed. A 20-year-old frat boy? She was a partier. No. Even with no history of hepatitis, people your age usually have scars and marks on their livers, but yours is perfectly clean. There's not a mark. There's not a mark. So what are we talking about today? Application. Application. You know, everybody, you know what apply means? To put to use, especially for a particular purpose. That's what we want to do. We want to put to use the things we heard. Some of you know, some of you don't know Jim Lucas. Jim Lucas and I were driving in a car one day, and we were coming on a red light, and I wasn't braking. I wasn't applying the brakes. So Jim goes, it's red. We get a little closer. He goes, it's red. And then he turns to me and goes, it's really red. Do you know Jim has never ridden with me since? What did Jim want me to do? Apply the brakes. Put to use what I know. He did not want me to go, Jim, you know what? I know the word brake in Greek. I can say it in Hebrew. I can even say it in Aramaic. Jim, I can tell you when brakes were invented. I can tell you that the wood brake was first, and that it was a handle on a car. Doesn't matter. You can quote scripture. You can talk about your church attendance. You can talk about your tithe record. But what have you applied? What have you put to use what he said? Put forth your rod. He didn't say, tell me about the rod. Where you got the rod? Put forth your rod, Moses. There is an act, and God has acts for you. There is a book of Acts before you ever born that he written. He's the author and finisher of your faith. Before you were born, he has the book of Acts for you. It's not. We are not just called to read history. We're not called to study history. We're called to walk with him. The only way you'd study history if God was dead. But friends, God is not a dead. He's alive. Theology means the study of God. His desire was never meant to be studied. Kirk and Angie are married. She does not want you to study her. She wants you to know her. She does not want you to know every woman. She wants you to know her. God wants to be known. That was his greatest desire. That's why he made man and woman to be known. Why? Because love wants to be known. Love wants to be reproduced. God is love. He's not just loving. He's not just a type of love. He's like a love you've never known. And today, your heavenly Father wants to remove your Egyptian robes. What people have said about you, what you said about yourself, what your generation said, your mom said, to know your real DNA. My entire life I was told, you're more German. My dad's side's German, my mom's side's mixed. I look more like my dad. Therefore, I should be more German. But recently I got a DNA test. 38% from my dad. Was it 62? From my mom. I was more mom. I didn't know until I got the test. See, friends, we need a test. We need to go to the experts. And the test will come back. You have a heavenly DNA. This is who you really are. See, Moses was a deliverer that was always in him, and we see glimpses of himself. And so Moses, when the Bible says he grew up, he got mature, he walked out. And so many times we think we're mature and we grow up and we know who we really are. Just because you've been a Christian a long time does not mean you know who you really are. So today we're not going to, there's no steps, there's no keys, there's no this. We're going to put to use what he's already spoken to you. And you go, I've never heard from God. Well, you will today. Because I believe your Heavenly Father wants to. And this is not condemnation. This is not what you're not doing. And again, friends, I thought about, this is because I thought about my own life, not because I thought about yours. Don't think, I need to tell those people they're not applying the word. No, no, no. I looked at my own life. What's changed? Why has this message become so good? In fact, the anointing was stronger in the room back then. What's changed is me wanting to imply it with intent. Now, there's people that spend thousands of money to go hear gurus, and they apply things, and there's results from that. But they spend money, and then I'm not talking about those things. I'm talking about for eternity. Just recently, I heard about an athlete who said his wife is the one that gives him success in Super Bowls, chakras, stones, about protection, all these things. Yeah, I would say, I'm not talking about a Super Bowl, because in light of eternity, it's dung. It didn't affect anything. No one's going to, your history books are on earth. When we get to eternity, no one's going to care who won the Super Bowl. Now, I like football. I watch sports. But we're talking eternity. This is not so you can just have a better life now. This is so you can know who you really are. This is not so you can have more money, have more this. I'm not saying those things don't get affected. I'm saying, do you know who you really are, or do you think you're an Egyptian? An Egyptian delivered us. Moses' entire life, since he was a baby, he was raised like an Egyptian. Ate at Pharaoh's food, knew their gods, knew their language, knew their speakings. But one day he goes out and he delivers an Egyptian. There was an Egyptian beating this Hebrew. He killed the Egyptian, put him in the sand. Why? Because deliverance was in him. And so maybe you've seen glimpses of yourself, but God didn't call him to deliver the one. He called him to deliver the masses. See, you're yet to see who you really are. And so we see glimpses of ourselves, and these things happen. You go, that's who I really am. I'm going to stop here. And see, when Satan, when you have success, that's where the enemy goes, okay, you're good. You made a song. You had a good service. You did this. You moved here. You did this. This is who you are. See, I'm not asking you where you work or how much money you make. I'm asking you, do you know who you really are? I'm not asking you how long you've been a Christian, how many sermons you've heard. I'm saying, do you know who you really are? Because I yet to know, and this is for me. This is not a message. This is not a message just, you know, I hope you guys understand. This is not condemnation or guilt. This is just an analyzation where you go, what was the last message you applied? Because it's easy to like on Facebook, you know. I like God. Ooh. Jesus rocks. But when those thoughts come, you'll never get out of here. Because Egypt was limits. This is all you'll ever be. So he delivered. And then when he delivered the women, he went to Midian because he heard that Pharaoh was going to kill him. So the Bible says Moses just sat down by the well, probably thinking, what am I going to do now? He's living in Midian. And then there was this well, and these shepherds chased these women away, and he fought for them, and he says, get away, you know, one guy against many. Because why? Because deliverance was in him. It was always in him. Peter was always called to be a disciple. He didn't know it. Jeremiah was always called to be a prophet. And one day the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. Jeremiah, I've called you a prophet to the nations. What changed? He knew what he was always called to do. So there's a book of Acts. Now, I looked at Acts, and I'm not going to tell you who did what, but these are action words. In Hebrews 11, the chapter of faith, it's not what they thought about doing, intended to do, prayed about doing, made a list to do. It was actually what they actually did. And you will never do those things if you don't know who you really are. So I'm just going through. They brought, they built, they offered, they blessed, they worshiped, they refused, they chose, they gave, and they believed. Faith is an action. Hebrews 11, 33 through 35. They conquered kingdoms, administered justice, gained what was promised, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength. Who wants their weakness turned to strength? They did that through faith. See, these are all actions. This is what they did, not what they wrote about, what they journaled, what they quoted. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released, that they might gain an even better resurrection. Let me give you an example of robes being exchanged. One of my favorite people in the whole wide world is Ravi Zacharias. The man is brilliant. He's an apologist. He goes to Yale, Harvard. When I say brilliant, I don't use that word lightly. Brilliant. When you hear him speak and non-Christians question him, like, do I really exist? And Ravi says, whom shall I say is asking? I mean, there's just a brilliance. There's an anointing. the temple in Mormon, the big temple, asked him to come speak, and I believe he said, who was the last Christian speaker that non-Mormon? They said, Spurgeon. He said, I'll go. You and I listened to it, Lena, in your kitchen. You felt the anointing. You felt the power on it. Brilliant. But if you know his story, he didn't always wear those robes of brilliance, of smartness. Growing up, his dad says, you're an embarrassment. You're a failure. You will never accomplish anything. He tried to commit suicide at a young age. Why? Because he failed in school. If you listen to him now, you would never think. He was good at cricket. He was good at cricket, but he wasn't bad at school. So he tried to commit suicide. He goes, even I couldn't even do that. He goes, he just felt like a failure. What? So God had to change his robes. Before Robbie was born, he was always destined to do that. God wrote down, I want you to go to the universities of the world and explain me to the non-Christians. It's not in church. See, these young people in universities and colleges that are challenging God, and many get saved. Not only that, he's raising up other apologists. So he's a father to other people. But he had to change his robes before he was born. See, God didn't go, I'm going to make you this now. Before he was even born, before the world was created, that's what he called him to do. But his father said, this is who you are, a failure. You'll never make it. You'll never amount to anything. Words cover us. Words cover us. And you know some of the strongest words is our own. Because the words that you believe are the ones you repeat to yourself. And so, and then it becomes your nature. I'll always be a Hebrew in an Egyptian home. An Egyptian delivered us. No, a Hebrew. Because what you saw was the outside. What you didn't see was his DNA. And God wants us to take a look this morning about our spiritual DNA. You're a son. You're a daughter. You're chosen. He doesn't want to rehearse all your acts of failures or sins or this. He wants you to look to the cross. Look to the cross of Jesus. And he wants to pull out of you, and he wants you to apply his robes. Put to use. He wants you to put to use the robes he has for you of purpose and destiny. Amen. See, that's one of the things applying does. It covers us. And so the robes cover us. And like David, he says, I can't, when Saul says, here's my armor, he says, I can't wear this. See, we need to tell the enemy, I can't wear what you've given me. Amen? We need to tell the enemy, I can no longer wear what you've given me because I can't fight with these. I haven't tested them. This is not my lineage. This is not my heritage. When I killed the bear and I killed the lion, I didn't use these things. And see, we need to know Jesus is King and the weapons he has to fight for your destiny and purpose and just to believe. And so, you know, in Hebrew, sometimes they just believed. It's not actually they didn't actually do nothing, their belief. You know, because belief, faith will move you or it will move the circumstances. And sometimes, like we sang about, it says, I want you to stand and just believe. And so this is not about, I need to do this, I need to do this, I need to do that. No, he wants to apply his robes. And for God just doesn't want to cover you with his. He wants to remove the shame, the guilt, the past, the scars, and the limits. His entire life, Moses, this is who you are. You're an Egyptian. But he knew. See, deliverance was in him. He delivered the one. Then he delivered the seven. But God called him to deliver the masses. See, you're called to greatness. And I'm not saying you're going to be well known, but you're going to be effective. See, it's not about being well known. It's about being effective. So, Lord, I thank you this morning, God. I thank you that you want to clothe us with your robes to make us not just effective for the kingdom, but to know we are loved.